and it was still capable of a good yield and got it capped. But that's when the real work begins. You see, in order to get a well like that working, and to get that raw shit refined into usable wag fuel, that takes a lot of machinery. And to get that all built and working takes jack and manpower. Now that's something we didn't have enough of in Salvation. Y'all probably saw how small we were. Still are.
You mean the walls? They're an impressive construction.
And necessary. Not just now. Back in the day, when we were still basically a wag repair town, there was a lot of jack coming in, and a lot of valuable supplies. We also had trade convoys who were completely at mercy because they were being serviced. So sec was always a major concern. And when we were a smallville, we built the walls around where we lived and worked.
But now?
When we capped the well, that's when I knew that we had to get outside help. There's no way that we could pay or trade for all the materials we needed on our own. And no way that we had enough people in the bill to work on the well and refinery and still keep enough trade going to keep the bill alive. So that's when I started to make alliances. Except that alliances means more people, and we ain't got the room. And there's nothing like that for making people a mite testy.
The mind of Baron Silas traveled back momentarily to a few weeks before, when there had been a meeting in that very room of the barons involved in the alliance concerned with the well. As always, Baron Silas was at the head of the table. Standing behind him were two armed sec guards. He hated having armed sec men in his own baronial halls, but figured it was a necessary precaution, as all the other barons in attendance had their own armed guard, and to be without would be foolish. And Baron Silas Hunter didn't maintain his position by being foolish. There were eight barons in attendance, from the far-flung vills that had formed the alliance to reap the profits of the revitalized well. The bargaining had been hard, but the agreement had been finally forged over the amount of jack and manpower that each vill had guaranteed to the project, which in itself was determined by the size of the vill and its proximity to Salvation. Nearest Silas on each side of the table were Baron Sylveen from Mandrake and Baron Lord from Hush, curiously named because of the valley in which it was situated, which seemed to deaden all sound coming out and kept it secure from outside prying eyes. Next down were Barons John the Gaunt from Hague and Red Cloud from Running Water. The latter was the vill from where Crow had originated, the foreman coming to Salvation as part of the project and being adopted as a close associate of Silas because of his qualities. Farther down the table, as they were farther from Salvation, came Baron Abraham and Baron Kay from the vills of Carter and Water Valley. Farthest away was Baron Howard from Baker and the Baron of Dallas, Christian Edison. Baker was the farthest distance of any vill from Salvation, yet Dallas was one of the closest. But as in the days of Silas's father, the farmers of the new Dallas were skeptical of the oil well of Salvation. The eight barons were all leaning over the table, arguing and shouting at one another and at Silas, their angry voices a confusion of sound, a cacophony from which it was difficult to determine anything that resembled sense. The tense and fraught atmosphere had also transferred from the barons to the sec men who stood to the rear of them, all of whom were fingering a variety of automatic blasters, from Uzis to H&Ks and Thompsons. It seemed to Silas, as he sat back and watched, that any moment the atmosphere could crack and violence erupt.
"Gentlemen, please!"
Silas yelled above the racket, trying to make himself heard. But there was no let-up in the bickering. So Baron Silas rose to his feet, slipped one snakeskin boot from his foot, and banged the heel on the table repeatedly. The piercing hammer of the heel on wood silenced the barons, who stared at Baron Silas in amazement.
"That's better."
He slipped his boot back on.
"Now, if you all stop playing stupid games to see who can shout louder than the other, let's address the issue at hand here."
"Sounds good to me."
Baron Kay's voice was bluff and deep, ridiculously so for a man who stood at barely 5 feet.
"What's it all about? That's what I want to know."
John the Gaunt directed the piercing gaze of his skeletal face to the rival baron.
"You standing or sitting there, boy? Never can tell with you. Just as I can never tell if you're asking a good question or talking shit."
"What did you say?"
Angrily, Kay rose to his feet, which in truth didn't make him much taller than when seated. Baron Lord waved his hand in dismissal.
"Calm down. Let's leave the rivalries at the door while we're in this. If the well gets screwed, then we all go down together."
Baron Sylveen thumped the table with his large raw fist.
Which is exactly why I don't understand what's going on. Who the fuck is sabotaging all our work?
And you think I don't want to know? Who stands to lose the most out of this? Yeah, sure, we all lose out big time if it goes for Ghazi, but who loses most? Not only do I lose my dream, but I owe all you guys enough jack for you to move in and take over Salvation.
A fair point, Silas. I'll grant you that. But the fact remains that work is running behind and taking up more time and jack than it should. So why? And, more importantly, who?
Beats the hell out of me.
Well, it shouldn't. After all, it's your sec boys who are patrolling the work areas, and who are guarding the well and refinery as well as patrolling the camps. So why don't they spot anything?
Because whoever it is manages to make their attacks and plant their bombs between patrols. And I've only got so many men to patrol a big area, and a hell of a lot of people.
So bring in some of our sec.
Silas leaned forward toward Baron Red Cloud, eyes blazing.
You think I'm some kind of fool? Let some of your sec in, and before long you oust me.
You don't, and we do it anyway. This can't continue.
Baron Edison had been silent throughout the exchange, but now spoke up.
There's one thing that bothers me about all this, though.
Silas raised an eyebrow, unable to hide the contempt he still felt for his old bill.
And that is, pray tell?
Edison leaned forward, looking down at the table, marshaling his thoughts before speaking.
Okay, let's look at it this way. We all have our vills near the old blacktop, which is how come we're all in this, right?
He waited for a general agreement before continuing.
Yeah, so that means that the only way there could be any sabotage other than us is if it came from some vill that was from outside the area. Because it'd have to be a big vill to have resources. Now, apart from a few small scavenger tribes, there ain't jack shit like that around. Certainly not with the firepower to cause this much damage. We all agree on that?
There was a muted agreement from around the table before Edison continued.
Okay. So if it was some bunch of desperados from outside the area, ain't no way they could have slipped past every post on the way or past every outlying sec guard for every vill on the way without getting some kind of interest. Is that right?
There was a silence while the assembled barons pondered the words of the quiet man.
Guess that's right.
Edison nodded.
That's what I figure. In which case, it's an inside job. Now, we all ain't that stupid to want to shaft each other.
He took a long, hard look at the barons gathered around the table.
Leastways, not so that we shaft ourselves as well. So it wouldn't make sense if it was us.
There was an uncomfortable pause. Silas looked at the puzzled faces of the barons around the table. Puzzled apart from Edison, who was looking deep in thought. Kay eventually spoke, his deep voice exploding into the silence.
But if it ain't outsiders and it ain't us, then who the fuck is it?
Edison shook his head.
I don't know, but I could guess.
Silas had an uncomfortable feeling that he knew what the quiet men would say, so decided to get his view in first.
You wouldn't happen to be thinking along the same lines as I am right now, would you?
Depends what they are.
It occurs to me that if we aren't responsible ourselves, it could be that our people are.
Ah, you triple stoop!
Sylvine brought his fist down on the table with a thump that made the wood shake.
If we're not responsible, then how could we...
He spluttered into a red-faced silence, shrugging. Silas allowed himself a smile. It was obvious that Sylvine hadn't used his brain to get the Baron's position in Mandrake. Baron Abraham, who had been listening in silence as the argument unfolded, leaned forward and spoke, directing his comments generally, although he looked at Sylvine as he spoke.
We might not be directing it, but our people could still be fighting among themselves, right?
I suppose it's possible. But why are they attacking the project and not each other?
Does it matter? The only thing that matters is that they are stopped. And the buck for that stops with you.
John the Gaunt emphasized his last words with a jabbing, bony finger that was directed at Baron Silas. The Baron looked from the pointing man to the other barons, all of whom were now staring at him. He had to do something. The success of the oil well and his continuing reign as Baron of Salvation would depend on some kind of action, and a visible action at that. After recalling the details of this exchange for the companions, Baron Silas sat back and held up his hands, gesturing to the hall around him.
So this is all at stake. This and the dream.
Ryan said nothing for a moment. He looked around at his companions. J.B. had an impassive expression, still contemplating the Baron's words. Mildred looked unimpressed, as did Christie. Jack was, if anything, more impassive than the armorer. Dean caught his father's eye, and right